Welcome one and all to episode 9 of the Foxcast. It's the same old crew you know and love once again. That's right, everybody, he's back. We missed him last week, but he has returned. Before I introduce him, I guess I'll say hello to myself. I am Dokes, everybody. I'm sure you know me, captain of the ship. Over to my virtual right, the man who was missing last week, the one you love, the one whose abs pour out in just exceeding amounts. Say hello to everybody, Nuvo.
Hello, everyone. It's so good to be back, my foxes.
And we're glad to have you back, man. We loved having Hitaka. Wonderful guest, but just, it's not the same when one of the three main people's gone.
I feel the love.
And to my virtual left, you know, the man who keeps the show from turning into a blazing mess of audio crap. His name is Dinah. Say hello, everybody, Dinah.
Hey, everyone. Dinah here.
So we have another fun episode for you guys. At least I hope so. So today we are going to be going through the normal stuff. Intro is going to be about trends, and we're going to have some stuff at the end about news and recommendations. But the meat of today's episode is primarily going to focus on discussing the Death Note American Netflix adaptation film. Ooh. We're going to talk about it. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it somewhere in between? Is it forgettable? Who knows? Spoiler alert, it's not good, but we'll get to that. And then after we talk about that, we're going to discuss a little bit about the anime itself. Everything that pertains to Death Note in this podcast is going to be a spoiler. So if you do not want to hear that because you have not seen the anime, you have not seen the movie, you don't want to be spoiled anyway, just go to the bottom of the description, find the timestamps that I leave for you, and skip ahead, because the section after that will be discussing live action adaptations in anime, kind of things we want to see or things we think they could do better. You'll see what we mean when we get there. But otherwise, let's get the show on the road. All right, guys, are you ready to just discuss Death Note tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
But before we do that, Nuvo, I know you've been out and about seeing the world, being a philosopher. What trends has Kitsu decided to grace us with lately?
Okay. Even though I have been away, a little busy, but I did catch some trends. So the first one, the blazing one that's hot on the presses right now is how many likes equals question you answer. And this is the trend that then actually took part of you foxes. And, you know, when then don't take part of trends. So you guys are doing something special out there.
That's twice this year we've got him to do something. That's amazing.
Fantastic.
Oh, boy.
I feel like a shooting star.
You are.
Yes. You shine every time I look at you, then. Every time.
If you've seen the Gurren Lagann music video called Stars, it's basically about Dinah.
There you go. We got another trend. It's called describe yourself only with pictures you have. You cannot search or download new pictures. So I couldn't take a part of this trend because I have pictures on my laptop that I don't want to display to the public. So,
hey now.
I couldn't take part of this trend because I was like, I really don't want those pictures out there. But I thought it was a nice, fun trend. Indigo was a trend starter from what I've seen. So shout out to Indigo.
Oh, and for the first trend he mentioned, I believe it was Ned993 who was the origin of it. Yeah, because she there was another trend a while back that she started because she got them both from Twitter, as many of Kitsu's twin treat that are given to us are from.
Oh,
thank you, Ned.
Sorry, Ned. Thank you, Ned. You know I'm slow, so.
he got so distracted by how glorious it was to see Dinah's response. It's like,
yes.
Listen to this man's voice, Dinah. Just say something outrageous.
Cheese.
Oh my god.
Outrageous. Just outrageous. But his voice is so soft. Can you imagine this guy is 6 foot tall? Yes. He towers over us all.
Oh my god.
Oh gosh. Personal information. Oh, I'm just kidding.
That he shared with us all anyway.
Yes.
He's 6 foot tall and weighs about 42 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
42. Oh, dang.
Weight Watchers has done you well.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, gee.
Was there any other trends going around the block?
Not that I picked up. Nothing else interesting. I've been away from the site in and out, but that's everything I got for the trends.
But yeah, the new one that's going on right now is fun. Just see people answer questions, like learning things. I've known Dinah for so long, and apparently I had a misconception of his height once again. And then, you know, with the pictures one, I actually haven't looked at most people's posts because I was like, I'm like Nuvo. My entire folder is just porn. All right, though. That brings the trends to a close. Really, though, why we're here is to discuss the Netflix adaptation of Death Note. So this is where the spoilers begin. If you want to tune out, I'm giving you the opportunity right now. Pause, and skip ahead to the whatever the timestamp says. Okay. Death Note, I'm sure most of you are aware of it if you're an anime fan, especially if you've seen it. It's it was originally a manga, then adapted into an anime. The manga began in 2003, and the anime is from 2007, I believe. And it follows the story of a young high school student in Japan who's top of his class. He's pretty much great and ordinary in every single way, but he's bored by life. And in the Shinigami world, or Gods of Death, there is a Shinigami who is bored with his life, and he drops his notebook called the Death Note into the human world to see what happens. Light discovers the notebook. He discovers the notebook has the ability to take people's lives. And this turns him from standard, run-of-the-mill, forgettable, perfect student to boy with a god complex who single-handedly wants to change the world. And then he starts getting in this mind game battle against basically Japan's version of Sherlock Holmes. And then from there, it really just becomes a bevy of twists and turns of mind games between the two and other surprises left in between. Very beloved series. Really great. I'm pretty sure all three of us are at least semi-fans of it.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. One of my favorite anime.
Yes, the series so loved.
And one of my first anime I watched when I got into it again a few years ago, and I rewatched it recently, and it has aged pretty well overall. So, what do you guys think of the Death Note movie adaptation? Let's start with Nuvo, because you've been gone for a while, and I know you're excited to talk about it.
Oh yeah. So, well, everybody knows I love the Death Note anime series, but
can sense the fiery passion of rage in his voice.
Yeah, I had to build it up.
When it comes to this adapt, I fucking hate it. Like, dude.
Well, in layman's terms.
Dude, I can't hold back my hate for this shit. One, I don't like how when a studio have the source material and they just look at the source material and was like, this is good, but we're gonna do our own thing. And this exactly what this film does. It's like a spit in my face. And I wasn't really looking hugely towards this film, but just when I watch it, I'm just like, really, dude?
I know you hated it. Was there anything particularly specific that you hated about it the most? Like any qualities of the film that you can point out that really just were why you disliked it as much as you did?
Oh, okay. I didn't like the way they betray L. He started off fine, but as the movie went on, he started really to feel less and less like the character I fell in love in the series with. Light was okay, but at times I felt like they just really messed up his reasons towards why he would use the Death Note. I didn't like that. I really like the voice actor for the Shinigami.
Yeah, you're talking about Willem Dafoe as Ryuk.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. I think he was like the shining star in the whole movie.
Fun fact though, Willem Dafoe mentioned that he never read the original source material, so he had imagining his personality just from reading the script.
Mm-hmm. Which is very interesting. I thought he was dope, but everybody else, compared to the source, it was like one of those, if you didn't know the source material, you enjoyed the movie for what it was. But since I heavily know the source material and the things they would do, I couldn't meet them halfway, which was sad.
All right, yeah, that is fair. So let's move on to Dinah. Dinah, what are your thoughts on the movie? Come on, rip in and tell us the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, you know, I'm not a hateful person in general, but obviously the movie wasn't good at all. As someone who loved the original source material, I expected parts of the movie, especially the characters and the general qualities of the characters to match the manga. Like Nouveau said, L was a big thing that was very different and it just felt off for me. In the Death Note live adaptation, he was very reckless and he acts in ways that isn't very smart, which L is supposed to be smart. And in a way, Death Note is supposed to be a mind game between two very, very clever people. But the live action just makes it seem like it's two angsty teenagers trying to get out their grudge and show the other, oh, I'm the better one. I have this and you don't have that. Come at me, bro. And that's just a general feeling I get from the live adaptation. The other big thing was the general story. If you never watched the Death Note anime, you wouldn't understand a lot of the references in the live action. Or at least you would probably get it, but not get it as well. And the story for the Netflix adaptation just felt extremely rushed. It could have definitely been put into a series, which was what I thought at first when they announced this.
Same here. I was assuming a TV series, and I heard it was a movie. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was a 12-episode show, and I thought, that sounds cool. But when I heard it was a movie, I was like, that's a very complex story to tell with a span of an hour and a half.
Exactly.
In general, I thought it was entertaining. I'll admit it was entertaining, but it was entertaining in a train wreck kind of way.
Well, okay, that's fair. Was there anything specific in the film that you wanted to point out that you liked, despite not enjoying it overall?
I definitely enjoyed, obviously, Ryuk and Willem Dafoe's voice. I really did like his character portrayed. He should have had more lines, I think. That would have been great. And also, even though I say I don't like this live action, I do appreciate the fact that this was brought to a Western audience. No matter how bad the adaptation was, I'm appreciative that someone took this project into their hands to show that they brought the Japanese medium over here. So I really like that.
Yeah, that's fair. So before I give my full opinions, I had a friend before I watched this movie, and I'm going to disagree with the statement before I as a foreword. He said that this movie was the worst thing he's ever seen, and it is worse than both Dragon Ball Evolution and Avatar, The Last Airbender, as it's called. And that is something I'd have to disagree with, because it's not that bad of a movie. It's not a good movie, but those movies like are kind of tarnished the franchises they're attached to, in a way, during the time. But for this movie, so I don't know how many people listening in know this, but so Death Note has existed now for 14 years. And over the 14 years, it's had 16 adaptations into different mediums. So it's no stranger to being adapted. This is just the most recent one. And over the course of this past month, I've watched the anime, I've watched the Eastern movies, I've watched the Western movies, and I've watched a musical that have all adapted the story in different ways.
Oh, a musical? I can't imagine that.
It's interesting. It's different. I'm going to be making a post all about those soon, so if you check out my blog, I look forward to that. But this movie, if we remove just as an adaptation and just as a movie, if you didn't know it was an adaptation, it's not a very good movie. It's very forgettable. Honestly, if you watch this and then that 2 years had passed, you probably wouldn't remember what most of the movie's about. It's just not well acted. It's not very well written. It's just very clumsily made overall, and it's just kind of disappointing because if you know the source material, it's very much about something that's very well-crafted and well-paced for exciting twists and turns. Things I hated about the movie, specifically, there's really no character that really shines, in my opinion, because as much as I would say Ryuk is the best adapted character, there are times in this movie where he eggs Light on to use Death Note to kill people immediately. While that's not the type of character Ryuk is, he's a character of disinterest. He's a very neutral party type person. He just wants to see what happens. Mm-hmm. Like, Yagami's character, instead of being this cold, calculating, and very intelligent person who knows what he wants from the beginning, he's very unsure. He immediately lets somebody in that he doesn't know well onto his secret in this, and did anybody else think it was fucking weird that Light's first kill in the movie was beheading a classmate with a ladder?
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was ridiculously unnecessary. It was such a, like, oh, we need to have shock factor. I know people have made fun of the scene too, but in a way it's true. Like, his reaction to Ryuk is he freaks the fuck out when he sees him. And every other adaptation, except for the musical, he gets freaked out a little bit. All the other adaptations, he's startled because, like, oh, that's not something normal. But because of the type of person Light is, he was already thinking this was a possibility, and he takes it head on. Mia, I think she is in this film, she's just a weird sociopath.
Yeah, she didn't even have any
semblance of a character at all, no.
And plus, they just hooked up, and he's like, oh, hey, we're together now. We're gonna share you my secret. Oh, wait, no, he shared his secret, and then Mia became attached to him.
Yeah, he shared the secret just because, like, oh, she saw me earlier because she was a cool smoking cheerleader, and wow. And then Elle, because there are other characters we can talk about, like Light's family and the fact that he has a broken family in this version for some reason instead of having, like, a nice wholesome one. And he doesn't have a sister or a mom in this version because his mom died and his sister just doesn't exist. But Elle, again, like Light, is a calm, calculating person. He is emotional in this, and not in a way where you're, like, engrossed by it. It's like, whoa, buddy, why are you so angry? Slam the candy. It was unnecessary, and you can't fumble Light and L. They're the source of what makes Death Note what it is. Death Note is a story about two incredibly intelligent young people and their viewpoints on the idea of justice and how it should be implemented into the world, having a head-to-head mental battle against one another. And in the movie, it was so much more juvenile with the way it was handled. They're so much more emotional. They don't seem sure ever. I don't know what the hell sleep is key is supposed to mean, but they just kept saying it over and over again. I don't know how sleeping with UV sunglasses in your face is supposed to make you sleep better. Like, there's just all sorts of just weird things that are unnecessary. Light directly interacts with, like, Kira followers in this, which would make him more likely to be seen as Kira, which just makes no sense. Like, he feels dumb, like, really dumb, and, like, he's peer pressured by Mia the whole fucking movie. I will say, my favorite line of the movie, because I thought it was so funny, because I was watching it, and I'm like, why are there so many goddamn rules in this? And he went, there are so many fucking rules. And I just started laughing my ass off.
I think they said that they were on rule 89. I was like, yeah. 89 rules?
What? Because in the anime altogether, if you watch it, I think there's maybe 15 or 20 at the most that get name dropped in throughout the series. And about 6 or 7 of them are actually in the book, and the rest of them are just kind of like assumed rules that you learn throughout the rest of the series. I'm just like, what? 89?
Yeah, they said that the 89th rule was, what, the fake rule, in which they said if you burn it, then you erase what's gonna happen or something like that.
And then I wasn't fond of them making a real rule in the Death Note, in that was literally just for plot convenience. Mm-hmm. It was just to save Light at the end and to kill off Mia's character.
What was really funny was that throughout the series, like you said, he acted really dumb, but at the very end, it seemed like he methodically planned everything so that he fell perfectly in the water and Mia, you know, just happened to hit something to kill her. And it's just like, wait, this is a sudden shift in his mental capabilities.
It also goes against a rule of the Death Note where you're supposed to be able to control something up to a reasonable amount. You can't control the fate of how a piece of paper is going to fall into fire.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. And then the movie ends with him too, just fucking just telling his dad stuff. And the movie is just, it's a contrived mess in so many ways. And the reason I really just think the movie fails on so many fronts is it doesn't understand what Death Note is about. It's about being smart. And it's about justice, especially. And there just doesn't seem to be any underlying themes about morality of life and death and justice in this. It just, everybody seemed like, even Light in the movie is like, we're not the good guys anymore. Like, Light never once in the anime until the moment he's about to die ever seems to second think his decision. In the anime, the only time he ever second thinks that what he's doing might have been the wrong thing is when he gets shot and he's running away. In Sunset, he looks at basically a figment of his imagination of him in his high school days. And you can see that there's a small bit of, like, that could have been me instead of what I am now. In the movie, he's just like, Mia, we shouldn't do that. And she's like, but I love you. And he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But there are some aspects, you know, they change a lot of stuff, but they also keep in stuff that's just added in just for I don't know why they would. Like, the fact that the apple, the Death Gods love apples, he just happened to lay an apple there. Like, did they even mention that the Death Gods like to eat apples?
No, yeah, and they explain it very subtly in the anime at first, and then it gets developed more, but in the movie, it just felt kind of shoehorned in as, like, remember if you're a Death Note fan that they like apples,
Yeah, it's like, hey, we're just gonna put apple here, and it's gonna get munched on by an invisible being. And you're just going to accept it.
And I don't know. It's just, and I agree. Even though Ryuk was a little bit more malicious than he should have been in the film, he was the most interesting character. And he was not in it nearly enough either. Mm-hmm. And then some characters like Watari, he's just like, I'm a boring businessman with a card, and that's me.
How did... At the end, Watsuri seemed like it was controlled by Light. How did Light get his information again?
I don't remember, because I don't even know how he got his information. And then somehow he was... And I don't think this was into a reasonable amount either. He controlled him over the phone for almost 48 hours worth of time. Like, that goes way outside. Also, why was the orphanage a shut down, like, scary-looking place?
Yeah, and why wasn't any of those papers, like, locked or something?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just so many questionable decisions. And then they left it on the fucking just cliffhanger. And I also want to comment that I love 80s music, but 80s music does not go with this edgy teen version of a, like, death drama or whatever they're trying to make it seem to be.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree.
It's just, you know, one thing I will comment on, though, that's pretty good. It's the cinematography. It's got pretty good scene shooting.
Oh, yeah. I think of all live actions I've seen, it's probably one of the better looking ones in terms of shadows, CGI.
A lot of budget put in, and it looks good. This movie looks good, but it's...
I still find it funny how they made the beheading scene look like that. Oh, I tripped on a fruit, and then this truck drove by with a ladder, and the ladder just happened to be sharp enough to cut through someone's hard skull.
Didn't it not make you think of, like, Final Destination when you saw that?
Oh, I thought of Final Destination, definitely.
It just felt like that type of scene. And I don't know, this movie just, it feels like it wanted so hard to be Death Note that it forgot to take time to remember what Death Note was when it was being made.
Yeah, I agree.
Certainly not the worst adaptation out there, but it's not great.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot of hate just because it's on Netflix, such a big platform for so many viewers. I do kind of feel sorry for the creator. He's been getting lots of death threats, and he had to do a lot of stuff to protect himself.
Yeah, and I do want to say this right now. This should go without saying. No matter how much you dislike a fucking movie, it never should resort to something like straight violent slander in your words of threatening somebody's life. That's not okay.
Leave the person alone. It's a person's passion project. You know, if they did bad, you know, criticize the film. Don't hurt the person.
Yeah, and don't shoot the messenger. Are you still there, Nuvo? You're just slowly, quietly simmering in the back. I was like, oh no, I wanted him to chime in and rant on the film more.
Oh, no. You know, my hate is real for this film, and I don't like to throw the hate around, so.
So, one more time. Since we all disliked the film, what was the single worst thing of the film? I'll start. Single worst thing of the film to me was the characterizations. You, Dinah?
The overall story and just random plot points put in for no reason.
And you, Nova.
How they betray L. It just rubbed me the wrong way. I did not like the way they handled it.
That is very fair. Anything else we want to talk about in the Death Note movie, guys, before we move on to... Or did we want to discuss the anime at all more? Or was there anything else you wanted to discuss related to Death Note specifically before we move on?
I do want to mention that, you know, even though the general consensus and opinion on this live adaptation is negative, I still would like to see more adaptations come out in the future. This is good for the medium in general, how it's spreading throughout the Western audiences, and it might not be a good job this time, but there's always next time, and I just don't want to deter any future projects.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think it would be great for us all to just embrace the fact that if they keep making films as adaptations, someone's bound to get it right. I don't know who's gonna, but somebody. All right, well, that's everything with Death Note, I guess, then. So we got some small other topics about live-action movies. So have either one of you, have you seen a live-action adaptation of an anime that you did like?
I wish I have. I did enjoy the live adapt of the Japanese Death Note with the first film anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Second one's pretty good too. I recommend it. I think you'll like it as well.
Oh, okay. Cool. I'll check it out.
Okay. And you, Dana?
No, I don't really watch live adaptations. This is actually the first one I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
It's just because I just like to watch, keep anime and real life acting kind of separate. To me, it's sort of a worse, more severe way of watching between sub and dub. I've seen the original. If I were to change anything about it and switch it over to another perspective, it'd just be really weird for me.
And I think that's fair. I know not everybody does well from going from medium to medium. I don't know. It depends on the story for me. Depending on it, like, I know there's a live adaptation in Japan of Attack on Titan, and that I just feel like wouldn't mesh well in live action without a ton of budget.
Yes.
And time put into it. But stuff like Death Note, I feel like I mean, it has been proven to be in the Japanese adaptations can work in movie format.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it's so much based off of writing, especially, and acting. So that's perfect for a movie. There's nothing crazy. Like, you can't, like, do Kuroko no Basuke, the live-action movie, without making it look silly. For me, some ones that are good that I've seen that are adaptations, I will say both the Death Note ones are pretty good. I haven't watched the third one yet. That's a spinoff. And if you do watch those, the L in those movies is amazing. He's absolutely perfect. In my opinion, I know not everybody likes this movie, so you can hate on me if you want in the comments, but I like the Speed Racer movie that we got a few years ago. I thought it was fun, because Speed Racer is dumb and fun, so why would I want it to be anything but dumb and fun? And it was visually made by the guys who made The Matrix, so I thought it was colorful and fun.
That's awesome.
That's an interesting perspective, Kat.
I also hear that there was an adaptation that's received positive, you know, reception, and that was the Rurouni Kenshin adaptation.
Oh, yeah, and I rewatched the first one recently, albeit with really bad subtitles, but the first time I watched it, it was with better subtitles. Kenshin's my favorite manga, so of course I'm a little biased going in that it doesn't do everything exact, but the characters and the themes are there, and that's what I think is most important when you're doing a live action. Make it translate over to feeling the same. It doesn't have to have word for word every single thing. And Kenshin and Kaoru and Saito, they're all great. And I need to watch the other two. I have them waiting to be watched. I'm going to watch them very soon. I don't know. There are some that I've heard are good too. I've heard the Ace Attorney movie is pretty good for in terms of video game being turned into a movie. That's Phoenix Wright for other people who call him that instead. The Chiaia Furu ones are supposed to be really good. I haven't seen them yet, but I want to.
For real?
Yeah, they made some Japanese ones of those that were supposed to be good. So I'll watch those at some point.
I do want to add that I am quite nervous about the adaptation of Your Name. I don't know if you guys heard about it.
I'm actually excited about that one.
I'm with you there, Dinah, because there are some parts of that I don't know will translate over. But I want to hear what Nuvo has to say.
No. I only reason I'm excited because I heard, like, a big-name studio, I think, is supposed to do it.
Oh, sorry. To add on to that, Nuvo, it's actually J.J. Abrams who's going to develop the Your Name.
that's a toss-up. We'll see.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
Yeah, I've been watching J.J. since Alias, so we'll see.
Yeah, yeah, it is. With J.J., sometimes you might get hit, sometimes you might get missed.
What do you guys think? Have you seen the trailers for the Fullmetal Alchemist one that's being made?
This shit going to suck.
It's just so weird to me to see a blonde-haired person. It looks so fake. I don't know. That's just another thing I have with live actions. They just look fake.
For some reason, it's like with some series, it's hard to bring into reality. And Fullmetal, it's like one of those.
Yeah, that's another one where I, without American amount of budget put into it, I just can't see the movie being made properly.
Yeah, I can tell they're trying to really like mirror the manga and the anime. But mirroring manga anime into a live adaptation doesn't work. You may need, like you said, a Hollywood budget to make the effects look great.
Well, and I also think some of the things that make anime and manga work, like some of the way they use like physical like drawings for gags, they don't work in live action without looking really stupid. So you need to not try to adapt it 100% and find out what makes it pragmatically look better. You need to find workarounds, because like some of the things, like when the faces you'll see in anime and manga are hilarious, but humans can't make faces like that in real life. Mm-hmm. So you need to find a way to direct and structure your scenes differently as well to make things like that work, because Full Metal Alchemist is not realistic. I mean, parts of it are, but some of it is clearly not.
Yeah, if it's like a big budget studio, it would be like flawless.
Directed by Michael Bay.
No! Oh my god.
How about we have directed by like Martin Scorsese? That's what I want to hear.
Oh my god. Why don't he do that? Like, can you imagine if he pick up like an anime title for his last film? Oh my god.
Because, I mean, you've seen the guy do things like Gangs of New York. You know he can make exciting fight sequences.
Yes. Yes. Oh my god.
I'm a Christopher Nolan fan, so.
Christopher Nolan.
No one would be good too. Yeah, he made, I mean, until the Warner Bros. Made him make the Dark Knight Rises way too early, he really had it going on with the first two films.
Yeah, I know, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then other movies like Memento and The Prestige are fantastic as well that he's made.
I hear Dunkirk is really good.
I need to see it.
I really want to see it. It's his highest rated film right now.
Yeah, I'm holding off. Even though it's not like what the trailer kind of portrayed, but still.
We're getting off topic now.
anime, guys. Anime.
Are there any anime that you know are being made into live action films that you're excited to see? Whether it's already come out or being made?
I was low key excited to see that Tokyo Ghoul one. And then the more I seen of it, I was like, no mas.
What about you, Dyna? I know you stray away from it, but is there anything now that you've dipped your toe into such a bad film, but it's still into the field that makes you want to go out there and watch it?
I am curious about the J.J. Abrams adaptation of Your Name, but that's about it.
See? Then I knew.
It's more of a don't ruin my precious series kind of feeling.
But I think J.J. gonna give us a W. I think he is.
I hope so.
I think he is.
And don't you worry, Dyna, if you somehow win next month's challenge I do, you'll be receiving a Blu-ray copy of Your Name, so that'll be hype for you, and that's a nice precursor for you if Food Wars ends up winning.
Hope so. Hope you enjoy it.
Come on, Food Wars, baby.
For me, the one I'm excited for, and I knew I was going to get excited as soon as I tell him this because I'm sure he didn't know that it's being made. They're making a live adaptation that's coming out next year of Kids on the Slope.
Oh shit! For real? Oh my god. Yes!
That's a show which live adaptation should work pretty well.
Yes! Who's doing it?
Yeah! I don't know. It's a Japanese studio, but it's going to be set in, you know, it's 1960s Japan, and it's all about music and friendship. It's perfect for it.
I did not fucking know about this. Oh my god, yes.
Sentaro, it just looks like a hunk. I mean, come on, we're all in.
Whew.
I will, for everybody watching this podcast, I'll link a trailer, and I will link it to you after we're done recording in a little bit, Nuvo, so you can watch it. It's a short, like, 30-second trailer.
Yes! Oh my god, yes.
So why do you guys think it's so hard to make a decent film out of that type of material? Like, why is it so hard to translate anime and manga over to real peoples?
I think one of the main things is that it's not just translating the story and the characterizations. It's also about the complete transferring of an animation visuals to a live action in-person kind of visuals. Because you can't simply just turn the lines and the drawings in the anime and translate directly over to people. You gotta really angle the cameras. There's a lot of camera work and editing and CGI needed for live action. So that's one of the extra challenges that directors face for live adaptations.
Yeah, I would agree. Because, like, there's something in anime that I don't think we give enough credit for is the way the body will be distorted to give more emotion. Like, say someone's, like, their body's being pushed back. The actual drawing of themselves of them, their body looks like it's getting stretched by what's happening. And it adds so much tension to what's happening. But you can't do this with a real person. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so translating over some things that only animation can do to reality is almost impossible. That's why one of the only ways it's been able to work is if you have the type of budget that, like, Pixar CG films have. And even then, only a few of their films have managed to capture that type of that sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, Inside Out, one of their better films that they've made and one of their more recent ones, they purposely designed Joy to be a character whose animations were non-human and very animation-like. And you can tell by the way she reacts, she's so different than, like, Riley, the main character, who feels and walks and moves so much like a human. So I think just the saying for Lost in Translation, I think it really does. There's just some things in anime that are impossible to translate to live action. So if you're going to translate things, you need to look at what type of material it is, can it be done, and how are you going to do it.
Exactly. Budget, time limits, and the standard challenges that studios face all pertain to this as well.
What do you think, Nuvo? Why is it so hard to make these things, man?
I think every time I watch, like, adapt, I always notice, like, they want to change the story that you fell in love with. I don't understand why they just can adapt the source. I never seen a studio just like, you know what, let's go with the fans love and, like, just adapt it. They never do it. They always pick and use their creative freedom, which is cool, because some things you can't adapt. But I never see a studio just like read the source material and just adapt it. They always want to change it. That's what I see.
So yeah, sometimes change is not for the better.
I don't understand it. It's like, and then some stories are just so good, and all you have to do is adapt it. You got the budget, just adapt it. Us as the fans, we just want to see it live with actors and actresses on a live setting. Just bring it to life. That's all you have to do. The source is right there in black and white. But for some reason, they always change it. It's just like with Dragon Ball Evolution. Like, what the fuck is that? Everybody know how Goku grew up and all that stuff. All you gotta do is adapt it in a live way on the big screen. But no, you wanna have him in high school. He never fucking been in high school. You know what I'm saying? It's just like stuff like that. Why even do that? You know? So.
Yeah, and like, I mean, Dragon Ball Evolution is just a whole nother mess, but like, for instance, Avatar, it's really weird because they adapted the actual story itself accurately, but the tone of the film, like, there's no levity ever from the serious nature, and that's a big part of what makes Avatar so enjoyable for so many fans, is that breath of like, I'm not being drowned by the seriousness.
It was the tone, and even the way they were bend, you seen that shit? They was dancing, dude. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
So.
That one was, it's just, if they would have done something differently, they could have made it really good. They were close, but they ruined it. And also, I don't know why, if you're a big fan of the cartoon of Avatar, why you would call him Aang in the film when he clearly went by Aang the entire movie, or the entire series. That's just strange to me.
Yeah, exactly. It's those little changes. It's like, why? You know how to pronounce. So just go with the pronounce that everybody know. Like, stop trying to be a smartass. It's like, come on now.
Yeah, I don't get it. All right, anything else you guys want to discuss in regards to live-action adaptations, anime, movie, why Death Note the movie sucks, anything like that?
I think that's it for me.
No.
Okay, let us move on to the news. I've been actually really slack about checking it lately because there's not been much going on. Although today there was a really cool news story I read. Because of course the guy can't just stay in retirement. Hayao Miyazaki, the godfather of Studio Ghibli and the man that I'm sure everyone here has seen at least one of his movies in their life, for everything from Princess Mononoke to Spirited Away to My Neighbor Totoro. He's making another movie in his free time, and it's supposed to be done in 3 to 4 years, and its title shares title with a 1937 Japanese novel, and it's supposed to be in somehow attached to what the plot is going to be doing. There's not much other details on it, but I'm excited to see that that's happening because I'm a massive Studio Ghibli fan.
That's awesome.
Sound good, though.
Other than that, the new season's been airing, and everyone's been having their own favorites and own disappointments. Like, Dino was telling me about how much he hates King's Game before we started recording.
I mean, but this season is good. I mean, we have, like, you know, guilty pleasure. I told you King's Game before we even start recording. It's like a guilty pleasure. They know it's edgy. They know it's stupid. So, you know, it is what it is.
There's, like, 3 highlight shows for me this season. But I haven't really started watching many others.
That's actually perfect. I was going to ask what's everyone's like standout show of the season so far, since we don't have any news really to discuss. Why don't we mention that? So you go first.
All right. My top 3 are obviously Food Wars Season 3, Mahoutsukai no Yome, which is the Magnus Ancient Bride, Inuyashiki, which was the one you were looking forward to the most, the RoboCop kind of story. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah. It's been good so far, aside from the really janky CG.
Mm-hmm, but it's Studio MAPPA. Their CG's not the worst.
Shit, it's not the best even.
Well, they're still a young, small company, so yeah, it's that's the only thing I dislike about it. I mean, the opening's pretty good, the ED's pretty good.
Dude, oh my god, yes.
Episode 1 was really heartfelt and emotional. Episode 2 was fucking horrifying and depressing, so like, I haven't seen 3 yet, I need to watch it still.
It's good, it's good, Cap. It's good.
It's good.
What is your standout show of the season, Nuba?
Let's get it. All right, so Last Hero, really good, really good. Must watch. I love how they, right now, they actually doing the balance. We having the evil, then we having the hero. I like that demographic right there. And then, welcome to the ballroom, man. This shit is still lit. It's still lit.
You're going to be sad that I put it on hold for now because I was tired of watching it.
Welcome to the ballroom. It's so fucking good. But anyway, so the Ancient Magus. It's the best series to me in this season. To me, it's getting crowned unless the wheels just fall off. We have Just Because, romance anime, is coming back. It's coming back. We have Blood Block Battlefront. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's so good. Or Kekkai Sensen is the Japanese title, which has been really great. It feels the same. I'm so happy.
Oh, my God. It was like a continuation. It feels so good.
Extension.
Yes. Oh my god, that shit is so good.
I'm such a fan of that ending song. I just love that funky music.
It's good, but god, I missed the first ending theme. Because the first ending theme was... it was one of the best ending themes I've ever heard.
Oh my god, I'm like... In this season, I'm like, I'm just waiting. Because the first episode was so good for season two. So I'm like, please have a good ED. And when it started playing, I was like, it's okay.
Oh, and a fun fact for people, since this show is also made by the guy who made, and written by the guy who made Trigun, in the original anime for Trigun, in every episode, there's a black cat that appears in every episode whose name is Kuroneko. So far in season two of Kekkai Sensen, Kuroneko has appeared in every episode.
That's dope.
Interesting.
I was so happy, too. The first scene of it had a little plushes of Millie and Meryl from Trigun as well. I was like, oh, Millie and Meryl.
Oh, we forgot to mention Food Wars. How the hell did we not mention Food Wars?
My Dynamention did first.
Okay, Food Wars, Inuyashiki, and Magnus Bride.
Then, I apologize. Didn't hear you.
You know drunk, Nubo.
I'm with you. You know I'm with you.
Stop drinking. Man,
I am a little bit like tipsy on the low. But anyway, Food Wars. Oh my god. Oh my god. Food Wars. Oh, this shit is so good. Oh, Black Clover is good too. But the only problem is the main character. Oh my god. His voice acting. I don't understand. Yes. It's like he's fucking yelling with every word he speaks. It's annoying. But other than that, I like the material of Black Clover. That's what's keeping me watch. Girls Last Tour, I wanted it to be like Made in Abyss so bad. So I'm hanging in hope for it.
Let me know if it turns that way.
I know. It has like undertones. Something deep is going to happen. But right now, it's really slice of life, which is cool. But I'm dropping this shit if it doesn't turn in the direction I don't want. Zodiac War is good too, by the way.
Nubo, as always, he's just gonna list off every show he likes. I love it though, because it gives a variety for everybody to go, oh, okay, oh, okay, oh, yay!
You know.
For me, I, as always, can't keep up with Nuvo's seasonal amazing powers, and Dinah usually even watches more than I do, but I'm only watching 3 shows right now myself as well. But my favorite right now, and I think one of the shows that nobody's talking about, is called Children of the Whales.
Oh.
I heard about it.
Visually, it's very beautiful, and I think it's a show that has a lot of potential to be a really great fantasy series, and that's the one I want to call out as being my favorite so far.
I heard about it, though. But is it really worth picking up, Cap?
I mean, after 2 episodes I've watched, I like it just as much as Kekkai Sensen and Inuyashiki, so I'll say yes.
So you hyping it now. If I pick it up.
Yeah.
You thinking, I'm going to like it.
So far, I haven't gotten you wrong on that. We got you to watch Made in Abyss last season.
Made in Abyss was fucking fantastic. The void is still real. So, all right.
I may not watch much seasonally, but I cherry pick until I find the ones I think are going to be great. And I usually find some good winners every season.
All right, Cap. If I pick this up.
If I was going to watch any other show this season that I haven't got a chance to, it's The Ancient Magus Bride, which has obviously done well with everybody as well. But yeah, Children of the Whales, that's the one I want to call out. I think it's really good so far, and after 2 episodes, I'm in it.
You make me want to pick it up so bad. I have too many other series, I promise myself.
Give it a test run, and if you like it, keep going. If not, I won't feel bad.
Okay.
I won't be mad, man. Just give it a test. Give it a little kissy boy.
All right. I'm going to try it for you, man. I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it.
That's what I like to hear. All right. I sold him. And Dinah now is like, maybe.
Maybe.
As he twirls his long Fu Manchu mustache. Well, guys, was there anything else we wanted to discuss before we say goodbye to everyone?
I think no.
Nope.
Okay, so the recommendation of the week. Originally, I was going to actually say Shiki for this, but because it's going to be November by the time we start, and I got so excited to talk about the live-action film, I'm going to recommend one of my favorite anime. It's 1960s period drama musical called Kids on the Slope, or in Japanese, Sakamichi no Apollon. It's directed by Shinichiro Watanabe, the man who directed Cowboy Bebop and Samurai Champloo, and most recently Zenkyu no Terror or Terror in Residence, and Space Dandy as well. I highly recommend it, and it's also got a really great manga. If you really love the anime, there's about 10 chapters of extra content in the manga that are really great as well, that have add on to the ending that are really beautiful. Please, if you really like it, watch it and then read it, and then please, so I can discuss the perfectness of that ending with somebody, do that for me. Otherwise, wherever you're at, I thank you for listening, and I do hope you have a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening while listening to this. I am Dokes.
You've here.
I'm Dinah. Thank you all for tuning in, and we will catch you all next time.
Bye-bye, guys.
Cheers.